Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity once again to welcome everyone in to this lovely morning here in Clay County on the Courthouse Square here in Salina in the historic old Clay County Courthouse. The sun is shining out there right now through all the rain showers and spells and drizzles we've had the last few days. Maybe this will be a little bit prettier day today, but of course all days are great days and some are even better, but it's one of those better days right now when we're able to come to you live and in living color on your radio dial here at WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, as we do each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock. We will, Mr. Kevin Donaldson will be here in a little bit to kind of fill in today. You know, with the quarantine and this type of thing, sometimes finding guests at this particular time is not an easy project right at the moment. But we've got some things to talk about, some things happening in locally in some of the government processes, some of the things going on over at the chamber, some of the meetings that we've had, some of the things maybe that are up in the air a little bit, and of course talking about the coronavirus and some of the statistics here in Clay County and in the state of Tennessee and the entire nation. Of course, that's basically all the news anymore. But we've got some other important things. Got our birthday and anniversary club today. Got a list today of folks that are celebrating a birthday or an anniversary, and we'll be reading those here in a few minutes. But like I said, it's a pleasure being here. And, of course, this radio show does come to you at 9 o'clock each Thursday morning with a rebroadcast this evening at 6 p.m. And also the shows are streamed on the Del Hollow Horizon newspaper site that you can, a few days after we're on here, you can go on there and listen to them. And we will, well, hold on just a minute. My guest just made it in. Carla, good morning. I begin to get a little worried about you. I saw you sent me a message, but Carla, welcome this morning. Sorry for the interruption, folks, but we will take a little short break. We'll come back here in just a few minutes, and we've got to get in a word from the sponsors, the folks that make this possible, all those that do supply sponsorship for this, and we especially like to thank the three-star folks and the Clay County Chamber. So we will be back just in a moment.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Carla, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I know you come in this morning as, I don't know, I'm sitting here looking at some of the things that you're involved in, but I think we're going to start off this morning with something I know that you spent a lot of time in, because you had two children, and excuse me, I cannot remember your son's first name.
Eli.
I don't know why that one escapes me. I do know Grace that's been around us forever, and for a number of years, they were homeschooled.
That's right.
And, you know, just talk to us a little. You know, I know, you know, a lot of parents now have found out, you know, that they've had to do what you were very, very apparently comfortable with and very successful at from the appearance of the results of that homeschooling.
Yes. My heart has really gone out to these parents that have been thrown into this so suddenly. And I tell people it was the greatest job that I've ever had, because it was such a privilege to me to be with my children every day and to watch that light bulb come on when they finally grasp a concept, or to see their interest just soar as they found something that they were, you know, just really interested and really loved, and they wanted to learn more and more about it. And it was just very rewarding, but it was hard too. We had hard days, and it was a learning process for all of us. And so my heart really has gone out to these parents as they've had to try to navigate these waters. But my advice to them would be to just relax. Try to find things that you enjoy, that you can learn about. Learning does not have to be very strict and formal. Learning can be very informal. And so you can cook a meal, and just through that one act, the kids can learn about chemistry. They can learn about mathematics. And so I would try to just relax and know that your children are going to be okay.
Okay, now let's go back and dig into that. Of course, look, I've said a number of times that kind of like the teaching schedule that I always like to use would be on a five-day week. Three of those days would be some pretty intense study with lecture, taking notes, doing research work, things like, you know, I mean, just buckle down and get it done work. And then there would be one day of kind of fun learning that you needed to work in every week. And along with that came that fifth day, which was when your students learn things by accident and they really don't realize they're learning something because they're having fun while they're learning. And, you know, it always seemed to work pretty good, because it would, you know, students are like we are. We all get bored with the same rote thing every day. And something to me, what would a typical day be like? Well, looking maybe at when you first started and your children were very young, what would a typical day have been like then? You know, keeping them, you know, on task and doing things.
Right. Well, when they were very young, actually, they enjoyed having a little bit of a routine. They almost viewed it as us playing school. They liked for me to ring a little school bell, and so we would gather together, and we would do lots of reading. We did a lot of subjects together. We did, you know, history together. We did geography. They enjoyed looking on the map to see where places were located. We tried to do all-in-one type studies. Like if we were going to study a country, we might study their food, their cultures, and just all of those interesting little tidbits. We did a lot of science when they were very young. You know, even when children cannot read, you can read to them, and they can absorb so much.
You know, how much fun was it to pour that vinegar into the baking soda?
we had a lot of fun. We did a lot of unit studies based on things that were happening in current events, like the Olympics. We did a major study on the Summer Olympics one time. We did a study on the Winter Olympics. And so I do remember one time in particular, we were studying the scientific method, and so we needed to come up with some kind of a hypothesis. We wanted to know if groundhogs came out of their holes in the wintertime. And so it just so happened that it had snowed, and we were able to make a hypothesis about that and go out into the field and look around the hole. And sure enough, there were plenty of tracks around that. And so that was a real hands-on learning that they had fun with.
And the first question would be, now, how is the groundhog different from the bear?
Well,
other than being a lot bigger.
Right.
And so, you know, they're not an animal that hibernates.
Right.
And you made a tremendous point right there, haven't you?
Yes. They'll never forget those times that you spend together doing that.
Okay, now, how many grade levels did you actually home teach your students through?
Okay, Grace stayed in homeschool through 8th grade, and she went to public school in 9th grade. Eli also stayed home through 8th grade and then entered public school in 9th grade. So it was several years there. And the one thing, you know, I have a unique perspective now because I can look back and kind of see how I did once they went to school. And, you know, they're both straight-A students. They're very driven to keep their grades up, and that's not something that we lean on them about, but it's just something that they want to do. And, you know, I worried a lot of days that, you know, wondering, was I doing enough? And then when they went to school, I learned that I had been doing enough, that it was all okay.
And I know from personally knowing these two that they made that transition very, very easy. And we're going to take a little short break, and we're going to talk about something that helped make that transition a little bit easier, and that is their association with the 4-H.
Yes.
We'll talk about that a little bit when we get back. We'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back. Carl, I didn't even let you introduce yourself. We just started talking. Tell the folks actually who I've got, I'm talking to here.
Well, this is Carla Rich. I'm married to Riss Rich, that used to be the 4-H extension agent here in the county, and we live at Moss, and we're full-time farmers.
Grow some. Do you have some chicken houses? Or,
we do. We have chickens and sheep and goats, and Eli has got a sweet corn crop that's in. He started that last year, and it went really well, so he's got an acre and a half this year that he's trying to keep clean. It's hard with this rain. The weeds are just growing like crazy.
Well, the kids and weeds, they grow.
They do.
Carla, I know, you know, one of the things a lot of folks have questions that they have about, you know, homeschool students, and that is the socialization thing. Now, how did you all handle that problem,
Right.
Probably never was a problem because you handled it.
Well, you know, when we first started homeschooling, there were very few homeschooled students in Clay County. So we had to look outside the county for folks, kids, for our children to be around. And so we did that. We found some groups, particularly in the Cookeville area. We found a co-op that they could go to. And, you know, the good thing about that is that all these different moms that come to this co-op, they all have different talents, different backgrounds, different education. So we were able to go over there, and the children were able to take classes in subjects that maybe I didn't feel as comfortable teaching. They had chemistry and physics, lots of fun type classes as well. We also met with the Patch group, and that is where our kids found their opportunity to get on the big stage.
I was going to mention that. I knew that they did. That took part in the production.
They were in several large-scale musical productions that were produced over there in Cookeville at the Performing Arts Center. And Grace, in particular, really found a love for that. And so she was a little sad when she went to public school and she couldn't do that anymore.
Something that, you know, we have... It's been booted and kicked around here forever about trying to develop a children's theater program here. So far, we haven't been able to get past the discussion part of it, but it's still something that, you know, it does come up, and it still gets serious consideration. And hopefully one of these days when we get our theater completely finished here in the courthouse, that's something that we can look forward to. And having someone like you that kind of knows how to help do these things along with other volunteers here in the county, we hope to make that a real possibility. But another thing I know that I think maybe that your children got in, your students got involved in early on, and that was the 4-H activities.
That's right. 4-H generally begins, I guess, officially at fourth grade or 9 years old. But many county 4-H programs are encouraging the use of the Clover Bud program. And so that is an informal 4-H type program for kids younger than fourth grade. And so we were very involved in trying to get that up and running in our county. And so you know, these kids, it was wonderful for them to meet together and to do a type of activity that was related to the regular 4-H activities that were going on. For example, during the time of the public speaking contest, our younger kids could memorize a nursery rhyme, a Bible verse, just any kind of something that they wanted to memorize, and then get up in front of their group and recite that. And so that starts those kids out at a young age, getting up in front of people and becoming comfortable doing that. And I think it's so important.
I think public speaking is one of the, it's what should be, some of us was probably easy to do, but for so many others, to get stand up in front of a group of people all by yourself and speak for, golly, sometimes no more than a couple of minutes, is just totally harrowing to them. And they'll break out in hives and get all nervous. But, you know, that's one of the most important things that they can learn to do, and that is how to express themselves to others, isn't it?
I agree. I was a child that was very nervous doing public speaking. Even up until ninth grade, I would be physically sick before I had to give a 4-H speech. And I wanted my kids to have a different experience than that, so I started them out at an early age doing public speaking. And one of the classes that I taught at the homeschool co-op was beginning public speaking, but it was also known as show and tell. That is an excellent way for kids to get up and get used to speaking in front of their peers, because they can bring something from home that they really like, and then it's easy for them to talk about that object.
I will never forget when I had my show and tell in my college public speaking class. It was in the summertime, and there were a lot of lady teachers in there, and quite a few of those, and you know, it hit me, because I was a little bit younger than them, and it hit me, you know, what would be a great show and tell? My show and tell was how to get the bumper jack out and how to use it and change a tire.
Oh, wow, well, that's good information.
And, you know, but, I mean, that's something, you know, if you can get a student or anyone in front of a crowd and talk about something that they know a little bit about and something they're comfortable with to begin with, and not necessarily make an assignment, hey, you come up with a speech and you tell why Abraham Lincoln wrote the Gettysburg Address. You know, that's not something that they're familiar with, but if you give people something familiar to talk about, they can talk, can't they?
They can, yes.
Okay, now, let's talk a little bit, switch on to another thing, and that is maybe a little bit of an update. I know you're on the fair board, and
yes,
a little bit about what's going on with the Clay County Fair this year.
Okay, we'll be glad to do that. The Clay County Fair, as you know, is usually held in June. We have had to make the unfortunate decision to at least postpone the fair for this year. Most people don't realize that most of the work that occurs to prepare for the fair happens in the months of February, March, and April. And of course, during those months this year, we were not allowed to get out a lot, and the businesses we needed to see were closed anyway. So that didn't work out. And then we also got a letter from the Department of Agriculture, who oversees the fairs in the state, and they gave us a recommendation that the earliest fairs in the state should consider postponing or canceling for this year. And since we are the very earliest fair in the state, we decided that we would go ahead and postpone our fair. We would still like to have an event in the fall, but that's going to be something that is going to be just minute to minute, and we'll just kind of have to see how the situation looks at that time. Most people don't realize that the carnival that comes here during our fair, it really doesn't make a lot of money when it comes here. They come here as a favor to us, basically because they're on the way somewhere else, and they just stop in and do our fair. And so we're really grateful to them to come and do that. Later on in the fall, it's really unlikely that they'll be able to come back, because they'll probably be in another area. And even if they have a spot open up, it wouldn't make financial sense for them to move everything a long distance to come back here. But your fair board has batted around a lot of ideas about what we could do for a fall fair, and we're just determined to make lemonade out of these lemons, and we think that we could have a very fun event in the fall. And so we are talking about lots of ideas. If anybody has any ideas for things that they could do, please just let us know.
You know, this may be one of the times where we go back to the old fires like we used to have out in Miles when we had the students competing in the three-legged races and different athletic events and what was called the school day when they went there and they brought in the 4-H kids brought in their art exhibits, their produce. Well, that's something that in the fall will make a difference in there. That there's going to be a summer of work, like you said, like Eli. A lot of these kids I know are being introduced to farming at home and growing things at home while they're there because, you know, they're discovering that milk doesn't necessarily always come out of a jug and that, that you just don't drop a seed in the ground and a potato appears, that type thing. And this may be the time to go back our 150-year celebration, go back 150 years ago and see what the county fair might have looked like 150 years ago.
Right. You know, that's really a silver lining for us to think about. We could have exhibits of field crops and vegetables that we don't normally have because our fair is so early. So I think that would just be great.
Well, Carla, let's see. If we got anything? A little bit of rundown on Grace Ellen and Eli. I know Grace Ellen has been participating in some things, and I know she's been involved in lots of statewide things. Is she still involved in some of those things this summer?
She is. A lot of the 4-H events, I guess, large-scale events, have been either canceled or postponed, but the 4-H'ers are still working on their own. As I mentioned, Eli is working on his field crops. He's still keeping up with his livestock at home. He has rather large goat herd, and he actually had a set of quadruplets born this spring, so that was very exciting for us. Grace is doing a lot of volunteer work. I don't know if anyone has heard of a place called the Foster Closet in Cookeville. It is a place where foster families can come and shop for free for the children that they have staying in their homes, and so Grace goes once a week there and helps out in organizing and helping the families that come to shop. There have also been some victims of the tornado that have come there and shopped for their needs, so she was able to help those families.
Okay, and back to the fairs for a second. Has anything been said about the state fair this year, the Wilson County fairs? Are those...
It's all kind of up in the air right now. We did complete a survey last week and turned in to the state to kind of assess the impact of this situation on our fairs. And so they are in the process of working up those results, and I guess they will let us know. They have scheduled a conference call for all of the fairs sometime in the next week and a half or so. And I anticipate after that conference call we'll know more. But I'm hearing some people say that even some of the larger fairs may cancel this year. I did hear someone say that perhaps the Wilson County Fair over in Lebanon is going to cancel.
I think I heard that also, and that is the biggest one, I guess.
It is, yes.
Well, Carla, you got any farewell statements we need to talk about? Anything else?
I don't suppose that I do. Everybody, just keep your chin up. One thing that we're going to try to do at the fairgrounds is go ahead and plant our community garden. So everybody come down and check out those pyres that are alongside the women's building. And, you know, maybe later on in the summer there'll be some vegetables there. And anyone is welcome to go and pick and use those at home. So we'll be glad for them to do that.
All right, I sure appreciate you being here this morning. And I, like I said, when I talked to you, it really hadn't struck me about the homeschooling, but I said, you know, here's someone with experience with that and some ideas to throw out to folks, because I know some of our homeschool teachers may be getting a little frustrated.
Sure.
They were kind of thrown in without any type of really instruction or training or really leadership at the local level that could help them with that. And I appreciate your words and appreciate you being here with us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. And I'm going to read the birthday and anniversaries, and then we'll take a little short break. And Kevin has made it in, and we'll talk to him and let you get back. You got any farm work to do today?
We have lots.
Thank you. Okay, celebrating birthdays this week, I'll begin with Mr. Roy Brown, who celebrated a birthday on the 25th. We'd like to wish him a happy birthday. And then Brian Gass also celebrated a birthday on May the 28th. And I've got another special little birthday here, and that's Miss Marley Gay Strong, who celebrated her fifth birthday this week. And she's come a long way from that pound when she was born. Ava Carr on the 24th celebrated a birthday. Claire Grace on the 26th. And on the 28th, that's pretty close to the day, isn't it? Somewhere along in there. One of my first students in high school celebrated a birthday, and that's Miss Judy Rich. I'd like to wish her a happy birthday. And also, the gentleman standing in here with us this morning celebrated a birthday this past week, Mr. Kevin Donaldson. We're not going to put him in the drawing for the cake, though.
So. Thank you.
And I'd also like to do a special birthday shout-out. I'm not sure. Sandy might be listening to this or listen to it maybe later or stream it, and that is Mr. Ray Norris celebrated the birthday. I know Mr. Ray is in a facility up in Lexington, Kentucky now, but he is sorely missed here in Clay County, he and Sandy both. He's former director of the Chamber of Commerce, and we'd like to wish him a happy birthday. And also have an anniversary here for Jeff and Janice Strong Kyle celebrating their 20th birthday. 20th birthday, 20th anniversary. And I had a thing, I got a thing on the, I guess on Facebook, that I have cousins out in, I think they're in Pampa, Texas, celebrate their 72nd anniversary this past week. And I do know that my cousin there, he actually served in the Pacific Theater during World War II. And I'd just like to mention that. And with that, I guess that'll take care of us for today. On the birthdays, and we'll be back just in a few minutes. Kevin's going to come in and grab a chair. Carla, thank you for being with us. And anytime anything comes up, give me a call and say, I need to come by and talk to you.
All right, we'll do.
Thank you.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, Thomas.
I know Kevin is here with us again this morning, and Kevin, I don't know where you want to start today. I know we've had some things going on over at the chamber this week, and we've got, of course, I think we usually start off with our COVID update. If you want to,
well, let's do that today, and we'll see how much time we've got after that. Not a lot of changes for us here in Clay County. We're still at 6 confirmed cases, 6 recoveries. One number that is changing, we now have had 480 negative labs returned, so we're knocking on the door of having 500 people in the county tested. And again, that positive test result has remained static for, I guess, a couple of 3 weeks now. I've kind of lost track. We do have some interesting notes to look at, I think, on the state and regional level. One is, we'll just, and I know, guys, y'all are getting this on the news, whichever one you watch. We now have over 21,000 confirmed cases in the state, 353 fatalities, unfortunately, but almost two-thirds recovery rate, right at 14,000 people have recovered. I believe I ran the numbers on that, and it's about 65%. One thing, I think, Thomas, of note, because a lot of us, you know, if we are traveling any, we get out and probably are just kind of confining our travels to the Upper Cumberland area now. And it's of note that Putnam County has crossed the 400 confirmed case level. Matter of fact, as of yesterday afternoon, they're now at 428. And I had seen a story in the Cookeville Herald Citizen, the daily newspaper there, and they have gone up like 100 just in a few short days. Now, well, there's different ways to look at that, and we'll talk more about that. There's a tremendous amount of testing going on right now, no doubt about that. And the more tests you have, the more positives that are going to show up. There's no doubt of that. But they're at 428. The area immediately surrounding us, Pickett County's at 3. I think they've been there for a while, and they went a good long while without a single confirmed case.
One of the few two counties that hadn't had any.
In Hancock County, far eastern Tennessee, right up there where Tennessee, Kentucky, and Virginia all come together, not far away, close to Cumberland Gap, they still have just one case.
Well, this virus doesn't know how to find its way up there, maybe.
Well, they're kind of like us. They're pretty isolated.
Yeah.
You know, that's a beautiful part of the state,
just
like it is here. One thing, Thomas, in looking at the notes here of the statewide numbers, and again, Putnam County up there pretty high, but again, it's difficult. Is that just because of aggressive testing? I would suspect at least part of it is. A number that I don't think we've talked about the past few days, and I'm not exactly sure how to interpret it, and I've been trying to figure that out, but at the bottom of all the lists, county by county, of number of deaths, confirmed cases, negative labs, recovered, there is a pending note. And if I interpret this right, there's almost 40,000 tests still pending, if I'm interpreting that correctly. I don't know if I am or not. Well, if there's 40,000 tests out there on a daily basis, it goes without saying that the numbers are going to increase, and increase, no doubt, at a faster rate than what the recovery might be, just statistically speaking. So,
Kevin, are there any statistics on the seriousness of those positive, of the number that have required institutionalizing with hospitalization?
I'm sure that number's available, Thomas, but it's not available here on the COVID-19 dashboard that the state's running. No, that's not a stat. We'll also throw in there that Nashville, Davidson County continues to have the most total cases. They're probably at 5,000 now, I would guess. It was 4826 yesterday. Maybe by the end of the day, I'm sure that would be confirmed. Let's see, Shelby County, however, has far and away the most number of fatalities as a result of that. They're actually at 105. So it's difficult to say the numbers. Well, I was looking at a headline, for example. This is from basically 2 months ago, News Channel 5, March 24th, 2020. Tennessee confirmed cases of COVID-19 now at 777. And now we're at, you know, we talked about earlier. But again, how many more tests have been performed since then? Well, bunches and bunches, but we're now at 21,000. And just, well, let's see, we actually have had total, now that's divided into two categories, non-state public health lab testing and state public health lab testing. There have been over 400,000 COVID-19 tests performed now. So that's a huge number. That's a lot of folks.
That's a lot of work to get results back to folks, isn't it?
It is, and it seems the results are coming in a lot quicker than what they were once upon a time, too. And, you know, there's still some delays. I read a story this morning. You know, they're saying 2 to 3 days, and one of the Nashville news outlets interviewed somebody. Well, it's been 5 days, and, you know, a lot of glitches, and a lot of labs, no doubt, are that actually perform the test. I guess we'll go back to what our health director here told us, you know, that they collect samples at the health departments and other places. The testing is not done there. They have to be sent off, and that takes a while, and nothing's perfect. That system has been overburdened, just like the jobless rate.
Well, you know, I know we had a couple of news stories back a few weeks ago about, you know, pilots in various places that were volunteering to fly the results in to where a lab was located to speed things up. You know, and along that, it's amazing the unity that's come along with this in most instances. And we both know, too, that the objections to some of these things, 100 people can gain a whole lot more attention than 10,000 who are going about and doing their daily routine the way they are supposed to, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And we do see quite a bit of that.
I guess that's all I've got today, Thomas. Would like to talk about the census just for a minute, if that's okay, or maybe a few minutes, actually. Want to continue to beat the drum, folks. We need to respond. We are lagging far behind the state and national averages here, and really far behind what our final 2010 rate was in terms of self-response. That means a census worker, not having to come to your door and knock on it to get the information. And as we've emphasized, you can do the response three different ways now. I guess we'd say the old-timey way, although it's a streamlined form, paper. You can do it online. You can do it by phone if you want to do that. So we really need to do that. We're at 46.4 self-response rate. We have the 11th lowest rate in the state. That's not a designation we are proud of at all. And our final 2010 self-response rate was basically 59%. So we've got some ground to make up even to catch our rate from 10 years ago.
Well, you know, Kevin, let's say this one quick. Do you have to respond to the census questionnaire?
Well, somebody will find you if you don't or make every effort to. I guess that's the best way to put it. The Census Bureau has an idea of where folks live, even if they have not responded immediately. And if they have not got a response from anyone, they're going to go knock on that door. How many times, I don't know. And we have a grace period here as well, folks. The COVID-19 has delayed the door knocking by quite a bit, a few weeks anyway. Normally, they would be getting fairly close to actually going out and beginning the door knocking process, but they're not going to do that for a little while yet.
So there really isn't any repercussion if someone says, "Hey, I'm not going to do this."
I don't think there is. I don't believe they can take us out by the barn and whip us or punish us in any way.
I wonder if there might be a contempt of Congress there.
Well, I'm not sure, but I'm not aware of it. No, but what we want to emphasize is how important it is. This means money for us. And guys, all the indications are, and I'll talk about that for just a minute, and I know we're probably up against a break, The Upper Cumberland Development District periodically issues population trends, and they're projecting that we're going to lose about 250 people from the last census. And we really don't need, if that's legitimately happened, so be it. But we just need to make sure that everyone gets counted, because it does mean a tremendous amount in terms of state and federal dollars.
Absolutely. You know, and Kevin, once again, we're looking there, you know, they're projecting that we're going to lose people. But, you know, looking around, and, you know, when we talk to our folks now at the county office about all of these new land sales here in Clay County, and, you know, sometimes maybe, you know, I know something like that wasn't taken into consideration when these projections were made. But, you know, there's a good chance with this activity that's going on around here, we might even gain a little bit or even be neutral at the next one if those folks come in during this period of time and start to build and move families in here.
And let's hasten to add, these are projections. We don't know.
Right.
We'll know about this time next year whether or not we gained or lost folks during the last 10 years.
We probably have lost some the last 10 years, but then, you know, the projections for the future, you know, like you said, they are projections, and there are so many things that can change those. And, you know, the COVID thing, it may change people's idea about where they want to live.
No doubt about that. I've thought that might be one of the lasting things that will come out of the COVID-19 crisis. Of course, we don't know exactly when that's going to end. We're predicting an end to it, and we're not certain what the future holds.
So, and then we do have space. We could bring in probably, what, maybe another 1,000 or so people and still not get real crowded during the campaign.
Oh, absolutely not. No, absolutely. Thomas, I know we need to go to an ad. I'd like to talk a little bit more about some population numbers that I was able to dig up. Might be of interest to folks.
Okay, we'll do that when we come back. Right now, we'll take a little short break and work in a few words from the folks that make all this possible here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock on WVFB FM 105 Kings Country. And with that, we'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discover.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Kevin, I think you've sat here just a minute and you've pondered and you've got some some groundbreaking things.
Well, it's not groundbreaking, but interesting to a numbers freak like myself. Got to thinking about population trends and populations, a lot of interesting things, and we'll try to localize it as much as we can. But I went to worldpopulationreview.com. I'm assuming they're fairly reputable. In Tennessee, we have 31 cities with more than 20,000 people. We have 62 cities or towns with more than 10,000. Now, on the far end of the spectrum, you may think, well, Salina and Clay County are small. Well, we are small. There's no doubt about that. But get this. There are 76 towns or cities in the state of Tennessee with less than 500 people in them. 76. I would never have dreamed that to be the case.
These would be incorporated.
Yes, absolutely. Incorporated in some way under some form of government. Absolutely. No, these are not just communities.
Right, not the crossroads.
Wide places in the road. No. Of course, our biggest town anywhere around is Cookeville. World Population Review is projecting that they will grow by 15% during the past decade. Now, I don't think any of us would doubt that whatsoever. They're saying that Cookeville, not Putnam County, just Cookeville will have over 35,000 people after the census. Lafayette has 5,400. They've grown by, or will have, they're anticipating, a possible growth of almost 20%. And I think we would have certainly seen the results of that as well. Livingston, they expect they're 131 out of our, goodness, I don't know, 429 total cities. They're going to stay around 4,000 where they've been. Localizing a little bit more, we're at Salina is at 240, number 240, that is, anticipating maybe just a slight decrease during the past 10 years. I'm not sure I'm ready to agree with that or not. We'll see how that plays out. Red Bowling Springs, 1,100, they're 271st. Gainesboro, now that Gainesboro and Salina, Jackson County, Clay County, some interesting comparisons there. We're considerably bigger than Gainesboro, but Jackson County is considerably bigger than Clay County. But if you think about the geography down at Gainesboro, I guess that makes more sense than what it would seem to be. They actually have fewer than 1,000 people in Gainesboro, they're anticipating, unless they've grown some.
Well, you know, if you go down there and look around, you don't see a lot of domiciles inside their so-called city limits.
No, and the numbers bear that out. They have a much, much higher percentage of folks, much more than we do here, of folks living outside the city limits.
And it seems like when you look at the city of Gainesboro down there, that they still have a lot of the older buildings that are being occupied there.
They do.
Where here we have, some apartments and things like that. That we're a little bit different in the way we're structured, aren't we?
And Gainesboro and Jackson County would have some older homes there
right.
as well. Now, I'll wrap this up real quickly. Cottage Grove, not College Grove, Cottage Grove is number 429 in the state of Tennessee. They got 82 folks there. They anticipate that's how many they'll have. So a lot of variance.
Well, where are they located, Kevin?
Boy, I looked that up, and I failed to write it down, and my memory won't call it up right now. Henry County, West Tennessee, that's where it was, yeah.
Of course, you know, that West Tennessee was the land of cotton plantations and more sparsely settled, and, you know, usually like a little town like that, when it probably started back, golly, about the time the state was started, and they would have been the place where you went to pick up your feed, your fertilizer, and things like that.
Right.
And they've managed to survive because of their isolation. You know, there are some places that have survived because of being isolated, because they got to be there.
Absolutely. Thomas, two other things real quick, and I know you got to do our drawing for the birthday cake.
Oh, we still got a few minutes.
Okay. Jobless rate released last week. I hate to talk about negative news, but it helps us put it all in perspective. Statewide, the April jobless rate, now these always run a month late, the state of Tennessee was at 14.7%, and that was an 11.4% historic increase. Highest rate that's ever been recorded in the state of Tennessee, and I'm sure a lot of states are going to say that, since statistics were kept. Previous highs go back to a tough period during the winter of 82-83. Previous high was 12.9% in December of 82 and also in January of 83. So that, don't know what the May numbers are going to look like. I don't know if they will stay stabilize a little bit or go up based on what we're hearing nationwide, I guess we might expect another increase. But 40 million folks right at it, unemployed, nationwide.
Well, and you know, Kevin, here in the state of Tennessee, we have been, we have spent the last 10 years, boasting of how we have attracted all of these centrally located large numbers of jobs. And they have, of course, they drove down the unemployment rate just the same way when the virus hit, that when they laid all those people off, they very quickly turned it the other direction. Then the Nissans, I think maybe Amazon, those places, they haven't had that major unemployment thing, but the production places. Spring Hill.
You mentioned an industry there that's been hard hit, Tennessee and everywhere, is the auto industry. And we're Tennessee is big in auto. We're the quarter of I-65 running from north to south. We've got heavy auto north of us and heavy auto south of us, and we've got quite a bit in the middle too. And of course, they've had some big shutdowns, but I think they're starting to call some folks back too. One other thing, and I'll turn it back to you, Thomas. Just want to remind everybody again, Clay County Hospital and Clinic are open. Want to remind everybody of that. If you need an appointment at the clinic, you can dial 243-3576 and they can fix you up. A number of healthcare providers working out of the clinic area there now.
And I think maybe they're still wanting to do their part on the unemployment thing, aren't they? Are they still looking for some folks up there?
Well, I have heard through the grapevine that a lot of folks have expressed an interest about working at the hospital too. So, yeah, that could help our local unemployment rate tremendously. And the local numbers, the county-by-county numbers, will be released today. I'd talk about those, but they've not been released yet.
I think that'll be interesting to see how it has directly affected us here in Clay County.
Absolutely. It
well,
will.
With that, Kevin, I guess I can reach in. We're too far apart. I'll just reach in.
Okay.
You're witnessing. I'm not cheating.
Absolutely.
In any way. And I am pulling out. Looks like someone will have to tell Red Hill to tell his sister and her husband that they are the winners of the birthday and anniversary cake today.
Congrats.
Janice Strong Kyle. You want to write that down, Kevin, and take that back with you?
I'd better. Absolutely.
Our forgetters are working better these days, aren't they?
For sure.
Well, Kevin, until next week, I guess I can kind of plan on you and I doing the second half, and we'll try to round us up. And I really do appreciate Carla coming in today, and appreciate the fact that she was one of the parents that was doing homeschooling many, many years ago, and had some great insight for folks that may have been struggling a little bit here in the county, trying to struggle through this. And we still don't know what's going to happen with our local school systems. We don't know. We have some things that are being released by the major universities and things like that, that education is never going to be the same again, that, so many folks have always depended on having that kindly teacher up there that put their arm around a student's shoulder and said, you can do this. And, those type of things, it may be something that doesn't happen very, very often here in the future.
Well, I suspect folks in education and also at the local level are coming up with various plans, because we still don't know exactly what direction we need to head with that or a lot of other things.
Of course, I know they're throwing out a lot of plans, and a lot of folks are looking at, more concentrated education with less time off between semesters and things like that, getting the students in, getting through the work, and basically working pretty hard every day, sounds like.
Absolutely.
But with that, Kevin, I guess it's time we get everything put up in here, and we'll shut the barn door when we go out. And we really do appreciate you being with us this morning. And once again, a reminder that this show will be rebroadcast at 6 p.m. this afternoon on 101.5. So you can tune in, tell your neighbors to tune in, and it will be streamed on the Del Hall Horizon site in the very, very near future. And with that, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you here again this same time next week, same channel. But until then, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.